At the beginning, I would like to thank you for joining my presentation. My name is Mariusz Burdach. I'm working as a security consultant at Comfort Meridian in Warsaw, Poland. I am also an expert witness for law enforcement in Poland. As you know, the main topic of my presentation is about performing forensic analysis of the physical memory collected from the compromised machine. But at the beginning, I would like to emphasize that there will be not too many cases when such analysis can be performed. It's obvious that this is very specific kind of storage, and several conditions have to be met if you want to dump the physical memory. For example, we need the administrative rights to the compromised machine in some cases. And anyhow, if we have such a possibility, we should dump the physical memory just to treat the physical memory as dump as additional place where the, some evidence can be found. Also, in some cases, in the worst case, the physical memory can be the only place where the evidence can be found. And about this is my presentation. So at the beginning, I would like to answer the question why we should dump the physical memory. And then I would like to present some, to discuss some method of anti-forensics, which are strictly related to the physical memory. And I would like to show that file system, till now the file system was considered as a main place where the evidence can be found. But in some cases, it could be not enough. And the main problem with the physical memory is the collection of the memory. And this is the biggest obstacle, and I will discuss the methods of collecting the physical memory. So the main part of my presentation is about performing analysis. So I start from simple examples, how to recover some memory mapped files, how to recover some data, how can we translate the virtual addresses to the physical ones, and the physical one to the virtual one addresses. And then I would like to discuss the method of detecting hidden data, because as we know, the physical memory is the excellent place where some data can be hidden, not only by the malicious code, but also by the legal programs. And at the end, also some methods of verifying the integrity of core components. But please keep in mind that this is the offline, and that I will discuss the offline method of detecting such integrity, such modification of integrity of the memory dumps. Finally, I would like to present some tools which can be very useful in performing analysis. Some of them are written by me, but during the whole presentation, I will perform some demonstration, but I hope that everything will be works quite well. Hopefully, I created some movies, so it will be easier. Oh, it's strange. I don't know why. Sorry. It should works, but sorry. So as I said, the main part of my presentation is about performing. Yeah. Okay. So also I would like to present some methods of performing analysis of the swap space, because these two methods are quite complementary. So for example, if we find some suspicious string in the swap space without the information from the main memory, these data are completely useless. And on the other hand, also if you want to dump some, for example, files from the memory image, also not all page frames are resident all the time in the memory, and they are stored in the swap space. So these two methods are quite complementary. So why we should perform forensic analysis on the physical memory? First of all, there are some data which are resident only in memory. So especially information about the active processes, active connections, and so on. And also some files, which on the file system are in encrypted form. So in memory, they are decrypted. So it's quite easy to recover them. As I said, also because we want to correlate some information with swap spaces. Finally, anti-forensics methods. We can identify three main methods against the data. The first one is the data contraception. It's all about keeping data off of the disk. So it's about limiting quality and the quantity of the data. So it's obvious that sometimes the main place where the evidence can be found will be the physical memory. Another kind of anti-forensics is the data hiding, which is also strictly related to the physical memory, because also a lot of information can be hidden in memory, starting from the processes or models. So these two methods also will be discussed during the presentation. So what additional information can be placed in memory? As I said, information about processes, about the open connections, memory mapped files, various caches. So, for example, web addresses or passwords or even typed commands can be recovered from the physical memory. A lot of hidden data, and also one nice place is the file cache system from the Windows, where a lot of files is stored in memory all the time. And here I have a demonstration, and I hope that there will be no problem to run. I don't know if you can see it on both screens. Probably not. So this is the file check command from the Windows debugger when we can enumerate all processes which at the moment are mapped in physical memory. So they are information about the registry chiefs, about the log files, information about the some structure from NTFS server. And now I use the KNTDD list tool, which can be used to recover from memory dump all failed caches. Okay, so I will focus on the demonstration, only on presentation, so no movies. So it will be the best solution. So, all right. So, I will focus only on the presentation. All movies will be available to download, so all of you can see these movies later. So this is the best solution. I would like to sorry, but this is not my notebook, and this is the reason why we have such problems. So now the main question is how long does some data can stay in memory? So there is no simple answer to this question. In this place should be some result of my research about how some data can stay in memory, but it's too, I had too less information. So I took this this example from the Forensic Discovery book of Dan Farmer and V.S. Venema. And there are several factors which are very important when we consider when we want to find out how long some data can stay in memory. So the main factor is the forensic activity. And as we can see on this picture, the DNS server, which was online about 2 months, only about 86% of the main memory was never changed. Also, the main memory size is very important. Data type. It's obvious that when the data are in the kernel space, they are longer in the main memory than the data which are on the user space. Also, the operating system is very important. As I will show a little bit later, some operating system like Linux, even after releasing some data, this data can be recovered. Now about anti-forensics methods. So this, truly speaking, these are not the anti-forensics methods, but they are developed to escalate the privilege phase during the penetration test. As we can see, these methods are implemented in Core Impact or Immunity Canvas on Metasploit. And for example, Syscall proxying works by redirecting all system calls to the remote machine. So, for example, when we want to execute the file on the remote, on the compromised machine, it's not necessary to download this file to the file and execute it. So we can use the Syscall proxying technology and download this file and execute it directly from the remote server. It's similar with the, for example, in-memory library injection. This method is implemented in Metasploit. So when the code which will be executed is downloaded to the compromised machine in the library form, and also it's executed on the fly without writing this this file to the local file system. Also, I had another demonstration how the Metasploit and SAM juicer works. Now some projects and some techniques which are really focused on anti-forensics. Two of them were described in two last crack magazines, and they are, both of them are on Linux, were developed on Linux operating system, and they then eliminate some problems with the previous method. For example, in these cases, we could execute any file. And also the communication between the remote server and the compromised server is encrypted. And the one thing is that the file, executing file which we want to execute on the compromised machine has to be compiled statically. Also, there are some worms and rootkits which can be only presented only in memory. And one example is the Wikiworm, when the payload of this worm was only stored in the main memory. So these data were never written on disk. Another thing is that data hiding. This is another anti-forensics methods. And here I have some examples. First of all, the anti-detection model of Hacker Defender. It's the most famous rootkit. At the moment, anti-detection model is canceled, but about the period of 1 year, this model was updated almost every day to defeat all tools which were released, developed to detect rootkits. Another example is the Shadow Worker. This is also the kind of tool, kind of rootkit, which is based on cheating all virtual memory scanners. So, for example, when some scanner wants to access some virtual memory space, so with Shadow Worker redirect the access to completely innocent part of memory. So it's obvious that in this way, it's not too easy to detect if the system is compromised or not. This is why, in my opinion, it's very difficult to identify if the system is compromised or not when we are talking about the live system. So especially, it seems that the virtualization is the next step in hiding malicious code. But the good news is that when we dump the physical memory, so almost all these methods can be defeated because we are working on the trusted machine, and almost all these techniques can be defeated, except one. And this one is the direct kernel object manipulation, also quite known method, which is based on unlinking some data, unlinking some structures the same type from the double linked list. And if you take a look at the one of the last virus bulletin from the December last year, we'll see that two worms which use this method to hide in memory, and also they use the direct access to the physical memory to write the malicious code. So this is the reason why the new operating system, the new version of the Windows and the Linux block the direct access to the physical memory from the user mode. So how can we detect the anti-forensics tools? So the good news is that, truly speaking, these tools are not designed to be hidden against the memory analysis. So if we take a look at the MetaPrater, the model of the Metasploit, we will see that there are two or more libraries which are downloaded and executed in the space of the vulnerable process. Also, the SELF anti-forensics tool, it's not designed to be hidden in memory. So, as I said at the beginning, the biggest problem is how can we dump the physical memory in the proper way, in the way which allow us to present this, present the evidence which will be recovered from the physical memory in the court of law. So the physical memory dump must be reliable. And this is the reason why some experts advise to dump the physical memory twice. Because, as we know, the content of the memory is changing all the time. So the one sample is not enough. If we perform two dumps in a short period of time, so this is highly possible that we will catch the whole content of the memory. So also the another thing is that we should perform the physical backup instead of logical. So this is the same situation like with a file system. It's obvious that we should create the bit by bit copy of the whole storage. It's the same with the physical memory. So finally, we can identify two methods of performing or creating memory dumps. The best one is the hardware-based method. So in this case, we are not relying on the operating system. So additional card, PCI card is placed in the computer, and when the system is compromised, we activate this card, and through the direct memory access, we create the whole copy of the physical memory. And such tools exist. Also, there are some related tools, maybe not designed to copy the physical memory, but rather to verify the integrity and of the physical memory. So one of these is the Copilot. Also, some approaches were to dump the physical memory through the firewire. And the following link presents some results of such approach, which was performed on the Unix system. So till now, it was impossible to dump the physical memory from the Windows machine. But in most cases, we have to rely on the operating system, so we have to use a DD tool or any kind of tool which perform bit-by-bit copy of the physical memory, and we have to rely on the operating system. And this is the reason, then it's highly possible that the results collected in this way will be cheated. Now, what kind of memory devices we have? On Linux, of course, there is the DevMem device, which presents the raw data, and also we have the another one, which is the Protka core file, which is a little bit bigger because there is the executing and linking file header, so we can use this file to and download and load it to the, for example, GNU debugger to perform some analysis. On Windows machines, we have two devices, physical memory and debug memory, and these two device objects present their raw data. But also there is a possibility to download the memory dump to any Windows-based debugger. But the one thing we have to do is to create to convert the raw content of the memory to the crash dump format. It's not too difficult because we have to create the special file header which we place at the beginning of the raw data. And because this file header was not published by Microsoft, it's not known, so at this link we can find the information what data should be placed in such header. Of course, there are also problems with software-based method of dumping physical memory. First of all, as I said, that there can be we can see and we will see in the future more attacks on the tool which can be used to perform the dump of the physical memory. And one of such attack was described 2 months ago, and when and this attack was designed to cheat the DD tool from the forensic acquisition tools, and it was based on creating in memory, in physical memory, the same file, mapping this page frame with two different memory types, for example, write back and no cacheable. And also, as I said, the current version of operating system, like Windows 2003 with Service Pack 1 or Vista or Linux, various Linux distribution, they block the direct access to the physical memory from the user mode. So the one way to perform the physical backup, a physical copy of the whole memory, is to use the kernel driver, which will be loaded to the kernel space, and through this kernel we can dump the physical memory. Also, as I said at the beginning, that we should perform the physical backup of the physical memory instead of logical one. There are several reasons. First of all, if we copy particular information about active processes or open ports on loaded to the memory modules, there are only selected information, and this information comes from only allocated memory. And also because of the rootkits, this results can be quite easily cheated. So this is the reason why we should dump the physical memory in one step, using, for example, DD to dump the bit-by-bit copy of the physical memory. Now, if we know how to dump the physical memory, we should prepare to the analysis. So, of course, it's easier if we have the access to the physical, to the file system, because we can recover, for example, kernel image file, which exports some values, some addresses of imported for us structures. And also on Linux operating system, we have access to the system map file. And as I said, some addresses, some symbols are exported. For example, PS initial system process, which represents the first process in the Windows operating system, and we have the address, the related virtual address from the beginning of the memory image file loaded to the memory. So then we can, using this address, we can recover the rest of the files, the rest of the processes. Also, we should know what is the size of the page frames. This is the basic information which is very important for us if you want, for example, to recover some files from the memory. Also, what is the total size of the physical memory? The other we should keep in mind that we have the physical memory dump, but all addresses in memory are written in physical in virtual form. So we have to know how to translate these addresses to the physical ones. Also, two databases. The first one on the Windows operating system is the PFN, page frame number database, which contain the data descriptors of the each page which is in memory. Similar on the Linux operating system, we have the memmap database, which contain the information about all page frames in memory. How can we translate the virtual address to the physical one? So we can do like the operating system does. So if we know the page directory address, so then we can split the virtual address into three parts. And the first part is the offset from the page directory. Then we have the address of the page table and the offset in this page table. And finally, we have the physical page frame. Also, we can use if we don't know the context. So we don't know the page directory address. So then we can use the following formula. On Linux operating system, it's even simpler because just what we have to do is to remove the page offset. So it's the place where the kernel space is starting. Also, if you want to perform the reverse lookup, how can we translate physical addresses to the virtual one? So we have to scan the databases, page frame number database or on Linux operating system memmap database. And we have to look and we have to find out what is the page directory. So this is here we have the example how the page frame number entry looks like. And for us, the most important is containing page field, which show us which page frame points to our page frame. So if we, in this way, we can find the page frame number of the page directory. Also, another important thing is to understand how the page table entry looks like. So if you want to recover some files, we have to look at the first bit because it tells us if the content of the page is in memory or maybe the content is in the swap space. The fields from the 12 till 31 are the page frame number or the index in the swap space. So what we have to remember is that in Linux operating system to the index number, we have to add the 4 kilobytes, and this is the swap header. So now we are ready to start the analysis of the physical memory. We know how to dump the physical memory. We are prepared. We understand the physical memory. So we could start the analysis. So we can identify three basic methods of analysis. The first, the most famous is, and the very often used, is the string searching or signature matching. So for the Windows operating system, we have to know that some strings are written in Unicode form. Another method is to interpret internal kernel structures. It's the same like the operating system does. And the last one is the correlation of the page frame. So if we find some suspicious string, so what then? So then we should find the page frame, which points, page frame in page table, which points to this page frame. And finally, we have to find the page frame, which is the page directory, which points to the page frame number in page table. So now I would like also to discuss a little bit more about the internal kernel structures. First of all, how the physical memory of the Linux operating system is built. So we can split the physical memory into three parts. So zone DMA is the first 16 megabytes. Then we have the zone normal. And for us, this is the most important because at the beginning of the zone normal is the memmap array. So this database contains the information about stage of each page frame in memory. the most important kernel structures, task struct, which represent the process, memmap struct, which represent the whole memory reserved for the process, virtual memory area struct, which each process should has at least three because of the data, because of the executable code, text section, or and also the stack. And if we know how the structures are connected, so if we know, if we identify at least one page task, we can find all page descriptors and finally page frames which contain the information important for us. And on the other hand, if we have the information about page descriptors, we could identify all processes executed in memory. And in those internal kernel structures, the E process block, which represents the each process in memory, from the forensic point of view, access token and seeds, which show us to which account the process in memory belongs to. Also the creation time, for example, if you want to find out when the process was started, and so on. A few important informations. How can we, for example, recover our processes? How can we enumerate all processes which were during the dumping of the physical memory active? So on Linux operating system, we have the init task union struct. The address of this structure is exported by the kernel image file, so it's quite easy to identify it. So then we have a double linked list, so we can enumerate all processes. On Windows operating system, as I said before, we have the NTOS kernel.exe. This is the kernel image file for Windows. And we have the PS initial system process, which is also exported. This is represent the system process in Windows. Sometimes the speed is equal to 0, sometimes to 4. It depends on the version of the operating system. And then using double linked list, we can enumerate the rest of the processes. But we should keep in mind that this is vulnerable to the dynamic kernel object manipulation. So we can use the other method to see if really, if this method was proper to enumerate all processes. How can we dump the physical memory? The files from the physical memory. In Linux operating system, we have the address space struct, which describes all files which are mapped to memory. So this address struct points to the page descriptors, and all page descriptors are linked together, so which contain the data from the same file. So it's quite easy to dump such file. On Windows operating system, for example, if you want to dump the process image file, so in the process environment block, we have the image database address. And at this address, we have this address show us the virtual address of the one frame which contains the portable executable header. So as we know, if we can recover the header of the file, so we can also find the information about the rest of the file, because the header contains the information about all sections of the file. And also in these sections are written the information about the virtual addresses at the size of each section. So what we need to know is to know the page directory of the process to which this file belongs to. And if you want to dump the drivers or modules from the physical memory, we should know only the page directory of the system process, because all modules are mapped to the process space of the system process. But surprisingly, when we dump the physical from the memory, the file, it's not the same if we compare this file with the file on the file system. Why? Because at least two sections are modified when this section are loaded to memory. For example, the data section will contain global initialization data, or the L data section. And this section contains the import address table. And as we know, this import address table is updated when the file is loaded to the memory because of importing some addresses to the functions from the libraries. And on the right side, we will see that this import address table is updated, and at, for example, address 77E4 to CD1, we could find the content of the function get module handle A. So as we know, also if you want to see how this how the content of this function looks like, so we can load the image to the debugger and trying to disassemble it. Now the another important thing is how can we find the hidden data in memory. So the one of the solution is to read is to read structures which we know that they are not modified by the rootkits, but sometimes it could be quite difficult. So the best way, and also if we perform the analysis of the file system, is to use some signatures and to grab some objects. It's quite easy to using this method to recover and to find out how many and what kind of drivers are loaded to the memory. Also, we can this method recover and to find out how many processes is in memory, is described in memory at the moment. And the, also the another method is to performing some correlation of data from the page frames. And this is the example, how can we, using this method, how can we find hidden e-process blocks? So we can, first of all, we have to enumerate all page frame number databases, and we have to look at the following information. When the page frame number is equal to the containing page, so these values are the same, and the page table entry address has this value, so it means that this physical page frame describes the e-process block. So it's obvious that this method allows us to find, to enumerate all processes which were active at the moment of dumping physical memory. On the Linux operating system, we can use similar method. First of all, we have to scan all page descriptors, and we have to look at the following information. What is the following information, and we have to store the information about memory descriptors, because each process contains information. Each process has only one memory descriptor, and if we enumerating page descriptors from the page descriptors, page descriptors are related, and page descriptors have pointers to the memory descriptors. So the only thing we have to look at the VM executable flag, which tell us that this memory page frame is allocated by the executable file. As I said, the best way to recover, to find hidden objects in memory is using some signatures or some signatures. And we can divide this method into two categories. The first one is that some objects inside the object has some data which allow us to detect this data and to identify that this data describes, for example, the driver object. But also, the objects have some headers, and this is a good example when the all memory mapped objects which represent modules loaded to the memory has the following header, capital M, M, L, D. And then if we compare it also with some information from the object itself, for example, that we know that the offset of the memory mapped module at the offset 12 is the string which describes the name of the module. So this is also great method to recover, to find information about module entries. And the last thing is detection of the modification of the memory. So as I said, that we perform the offline detection. So the methods are a little bit different. And what we can do is to perform the cross-view verification. So we can take the, for example, the kernel image file from the file system and try to compare the content of the text section with the data which are mapped in memory. And this is an example how can we compare if the system service table was modified in memory or not. So to find out where the in memory the system service table is, it's quite easy because if we know at least one process, so this process contains the pointer to the kernel thread, and from the kernel thread we have information about the service table and about the address to the service table. It's a little bit difficult if you want to find the system service table in the NTRS image kernel file. But we know that the debug section, for example, exports some information about some functions, and we have to identify functions which are neighborhood, which are next to each other. For example, NT all locate UIDs or NT all locate virtual memory. And we have to find these two strings, which are the addresses of this function. And this way, this is the output from the IDEA Pro, and we will see that this is for sure the system service table. So the next thing is to compare the content of the addresses which points to the functions. As I said at the beginning, that the some operating system leave the data even after these data are released. I mean, for example, if we execute some process and this process was terminated, so still is the chance to recover this file. On the Linux operating system, I performed some tests. Even after week or two, I could recover the file, which was terminated. And what we have to do? We have to enumerate all page frames. And we have to take a look at the following information. Address space struct, IMAI map field is cleared. So it means that it's no longer used. But all page frames are linked, and they point to the rest of the page frames which contain the content of the process which was terminated a long time ago. So this also allows us to recover the whole file. On Windows, it's impossible because Windows clear all information about the structures which describe the process which was terminated. So, of course, we could recover some content of the page frames, but it's impossible to correlate them with the other, for example, page frames which were allocated by the same process. And finally, I would like to discuss some tools which can be very useful in performing analysis. At the moment, we have two types of tools, the KNT tools written by George Gardner. These tools allow us to dump the physical memory from the Windows 2003 and even Vista because of the driver about which I mentioned before. And also the KNT list tool, which can be used to analyze, to performing analysis of the dump. And also the tool written by me, Windows Memory Forensic Toolkit, which could also be very useful in performing offline analysis of the physical memory. So just to conclude, I hope that you make sure that memory analysis should be a part of the forensic analysis because of the information which could never be stored on the file system and because of the anti-forensics methods. So I'd like to thank you, and now if you have some questions, please ask me. And if you want to see these tools, and if you want to see the demonstration, which was impossible to see here, so please ask me at the break, and I will show you. Thank you.